I'm gonna save my thoughts on the on Doctor Who, which is my favorite TV show, until next week, when I will drag Couch Potato Mike off of his couch into the pod cave to record an episode not on Doctor Who. That will not be the theme of the show. But I want to really, really have a talk about the spread of the social justice warriors and feminism. It's going to be a rant episode. If you enjoy rant episodes, which we've not really had in a while, you will love that episode, I'm sure. I'm doing some research probably all week long to get some facts and figures, because logic and reason are what should be fueling the human race and not feelings and emotions. It needs to be a balance. It needs to be a balance instead of toppled one way or the other. That's why I never thought I'd go down this road, but that's why the traditional family model works. You have a logical, reasoning man and a woman with empathy and emotion and caring, and they balance each other. If you have a family unit that's only feeling and emotion, it's not tempered. And by God, somehow, if you had a family with two powerful CEOs, man and woman, or two men, you know, that are completely fueled by reason and logic, then I don't think you're going to have a great family unit there either. But that is not the topic of this week's show. This week's show is to listener Q&A. And I had two listeners that called in multiple questions. Thank you, Matt and David. Matt and David. And if you want to be on a call-in show, which I don't have them that often, this time I kind of ramped it up a little bit to get in a Q&A question show, because they're fun to do, usually. This time is no exception. These are some good questions. And it's about the, what is it, five questions? It's about the most I really ever want to do on a Q&A show, unless they're super rapid fire. You know, like if there's like another like Facebook Live episode, that was interesting. You know, those can be kind of answered rapidly. But if you want to be on one of these Q&A shows, or if you want your question to be considered for a full-length show, sometimes the questions are so good, and there was a couple this week that literally could have been their own shows in entirety, then the number to call is 615-657-9104. That is 615-657-9104. It will indeed say, thank you for calling the Survival Punk Podcast now. I believe it will say, hey, this is James from the Survival Punk Podcast. You've called the line. Leave a message. Thanks. Something along those lines. Finally, for sure, I guess I need to call it and double check, because I re-recorded it and then confirmed that I recorded it and saved it. Because before I recorded it, and it was just still playing the Minto song. So yeah, I guess that's all the housekeeping. Let's get into the show. And I am not going to play the calls for myself. I made myself mental notes. And I will answer from the notes. Not mental notes. I made, digital notes. I was going to say physical notes, but they're not physical. They're on, I'm using the Simple Note app right now. I used to use Evernote, just off topic. And it just, the site wasn't loading worth a shit. And it just got on my nerves. Like, I would try to log into Evernote, and I would sit there for like 30 minutes for it. It was like, oh, okay, we'll open the app now. It'll go in there. You know, the phone worked fine, but every time I tried to log in on the computer, it would just shit itself and sit there. So I'm not, I don't know. I'm not super happy with Simple Note so far. It is simple. It is a note. It's missing some of the more advanced features that I like in a note-taking program. It does have an app on the phone, so I can sync between the two, and I like that. But not that you need to know any of that. Just we're friends, and that's what we talk about. At this point, for you, the listener, I'm going to play the first question.
Hey, what's up? This is Matt from Oklahoma. And James, your voicemail thingy still is the Mentos thing. So, yeah. But my question, I was having a discussion with my wife the other day, and she brought up about how she didn't care if it was the apocalypse or not. She was still going to shave her legs and put on makeup and all that. So my question is, I want to know about some beauty products, aka, you know, like razors and stuff like that, lipstick, foundation. I'm not real, even though there is a picture of me on the internet and a video on YouTube of me wearing full makeup, I'm not familiar with it. So I just want to know if there are survival uses for said products, or are there natural products that you can make, you know, to make substitutes for? Like, I'm pretty sure I can try and get my wife to use a straight razor on her legs. You know, that way if, like, somebody tries anything in the apocalypse, she can, like, slit their throat while she's in the middle of shaving her calf or something. But, I'll call back in a little bit with another dumb question. All right, bye.
And you just heard Matt from Oklahoma, who was conversing with his wife on, basically, if the shit hit the fan, she still wants to look pretty. And I can relate to this. Not myself personally, but my girlfriend Serenity, she shares some of those same philosophies. She doesn't want to get gross and dirty and not feel pretty, even during the shit hit the fan. I think some of this is conjecture. When the shit does indeed hit the fan, then you'd get used to certain things, you know. But we can temper that. We can temper that by obviously by prepping. If your significant other gets coupon clip crazy and starts prepping extras of the products they use, then that, you know, that's a softball way to get them into prepping. You know, like, we'll stockpile on your lip gloss or your makeup or your hair product or whatever. A lot of that stuff has coupons, and you can, if you learn the system, you can get a shit ton of it. You know, and then, you know, that snowballs into other things, food and whatever else. So that, you know, maybe you have that talk with them. Like, maybe you have them start prepping that stuff so that they can have a supply of it when the shit hits the fan. As women, there are certain things that they need to prep anyway. In the scope of this podcast, we're not going to talk about alternative tampons and pads or whatever. Maybe, like I said, like, some of these questions could be full-length episodes, and that would be something to talk about in a full-length episode. And to be honest, I probably need to get a female prepper on the show to talk about these things. I don't really know about it. I, you know, just from forums and hanging out on survival things, I've come across, you know, like, there's various different things. And I know from just kind of being a crazy hippie, that a lot of the paleo women in that movement have gone away from pads and tampons to this, it's a cup thing. Like, instead of bleeding in something inside you, or and the guys are like, oh, James, get away from this topic quick. There's like a reusable cup, like a some sort, you bleed into that and it keeps it away from your body so you're not making contact with it and sitting in your own blood, and then you can just wash it out and reuse it over and over for infinity. That something like that for the shit hit the fan makes sense to me. You know, it's not a consumable anymore. It's a buy it for life product, and I like buy it for life products. But that wasn't even in my notes. That's just, I probably will make a full episode on this, and I probably will have to find a female prepper. If you know one, send them an email, get in contact with them and have them contact me, james@sirialpunk.com. So Matt had a twofold sort of question on here. He slipped a deuce on me. It was beauty products, personal care products that can be used for survival uses in the shit hits the fan, and sort of DIY methods. I gave it the old 2-second Google foo to find some survival uses, and I got a few, but not an overwhelming amount. You know, and if you know of survival uses for any of these personal care products that you have in your home anyway, drop me a line or come to the show. I mean, come to the survivalpunk.com, newest episode, leave a comment. Love comments. I did find out some interesting ones though. So deodorant can help you when you're help with blisters with breaking in new shoes. Probably also will work for just your bug out shoes, you know, your bug out boots. Because what causes blisters when you're walking and hiking is the friction between your foot, the sock, and the shoe or boot, whatever this case may be. So by adding some lubricant between that, you can help to eliminate, if not completely eliminate, blisters. So deodorant, and they recommend a clear gel because I guess that's going to lubricate better than the stick, which I don't know anyone that uses the stick anymore anyway. But I guess the clear gel would, you know, not leave, you wouldn't be able to see. I mean, this is the tip that I found, I think, was more or less for like women's fashion, but I don't see why it couldn't work if you didn't just lubricate the inside of your boot before putting your foot in there with the sock. Anything to help that friction, because it's the friction that builds up heat that causes the blisters. As a trick that I do is the two sock method. I've done the two sock method pretty much always when I do any long walking or hiking, and I don't have blisters, so it works. I mean, there's no big, long thing to go into. You just wear two socks. Normally, I don't wear the same ones. My method generally has been to wear a wool hiking sock, weather appropriate. So you have light socks and you have heavy socks. If it's warm, you're not going to want a thick winter wool sock because you're just going to pull up water in your shoe, sweat. If it's, you know, warmer, you can wear a lighter weight wool sock that will also help with sweat. It'll wick it away. It'll, you know, deal with that. And on the inside, touching my skin, I like a nylon sock. So like a nylon athletic sock. You can, like a lot of, you can easily find some like nylon business socks. Something very thin. So that way when you have two socks in your shoe, the friction is not is not on your foot. It's between the two socks. So I just don't ever have blisters that way. But yeah, deodorant. So, and it didn't really explain very well. It just showed deodorant on a high heel shoe. So whatever. This one also didn't know. Lip balm helps seal small shaving nicks. And they're like on your legs or your face. So this may supplant the tried and true, you know, corner of toilet paper routine, which I never learned from like my dad. I picked that up from, I think it was The Simpsons maybe. I think I learned that tip from The Simpsons, which to be honest, I usually just ignore it. I don't ever nick myself. Well, I shave with a straight razor and I've gotten some pretty good gouges, but it just stops bleeding pretty quick and I just wash off the dried blood when it's done. Yeah. I haven't bled out and died yet from like a shaving nick, so there's that. But for small nicks and cuts, like if you're hiking, you know, if I'm hiking through deep bush, I'll pick up some, you know, scratches and stuff, and maybe using some Blistex, which I usually keep in my pocket anyway, because I hate having chapped lips. So I have like 40 million things of Blistex, and I keep them everywhere, so I always have one. And if I ever forget one, I just buy a new one, and then I have yet another one. Pretty sure if I reach down, I can grab one right here at the pod studio. So yeah, putting that on there to seal out bacteria, you know, and Blistex is medicated, so there's that. Good old chapstick would probably excel at this because it's basically just wax. So you're sealing out the harmful things of the environment and keeping your nick contained. So seems like a good use to me. Speaking of chapstick and lip gloss, probably, I don't know about Blistex. I've never tried, but chapstick and lip gloss can be used as a fire starter. So there's that. I will have to try Blistex, because I do have so many of them. I don't see why it wouldn't if the others will, and seems like it will work, but definitely chapstick brand and all of that, the knockoff, you'll know if it's just basically wax. That should work. I don't know, possibly a lot of lipsticks will work. I mean, you can set a lot of shit on fire. You just can. And the last survival use, the last thing that I came across, and like I said, maybe I'll revisit this as a whole episode and have more, but oil-based personal lubricant is a really good fire starter, which is kind of scary if you're really building up a lot of friction with those. One time I was on Twitter, this is couple years ago, like 2000, when I early first started the blog survivalpunk.com, and I was following a bunch of like paleo businesses and stuff, and just scrolling through there one day I saw one that was from a company called Coconew, and they're asking for people to do reviews, and I looked at them and I was like, Coconew, 100% coconut based sexual lubricant. Yeah, I can review that. And I did possibly the only review and video of personal lubricant not in any way sexual. For you repressed people out there, you could read that review and not blush. Although it does work very well for its intended purposes, it makes the best fire starter I've ever came across. I soaked some cotton pads in the Coconut and then set them on fire in a comparison test with, I believe, Vaseline and regular coconut oil. The Coconut lasted the longest. I think it maybe was over 10 minutes. And, you know, the Vaseline was like, I don't know, 3 or something. So, oh, I would say everyone just needs to switch to Coconut for their fire starter. But it's like $20 for a little tube of it. So, I want to say when I used just plain coconut oil, it lasted almost as long. It lasted longer than the Vaseline, but not as long as the Coconut. So that's a survival use right there. I mean, if you need to stockpile personal lubricant before the shit hit the fan, make sure it's oil-based. What's next? Oh, so this second part of this question is sort of homemade personal products that you can make. And so the first one is what I do anyway. And it's cheap and easy, and I like it. And that's brushing your teeth with just baking soda. You know, it'll take the stains off. It'll whiten your teeth. It cleans them. It doesn't give you... I hate minty toothpaste. I don't know what it is. Like, just that whole feeling of the minty mouth just is gross to me. And I've not liked it ever. Like, I would love to just come across a not mint-based toothpaste. Like, flavorless or something. But baking soda works for me. It's not too terribly different from your tube, except for it's in a box, and I just wet the bristles, dip them in there, and then baking soda will stick to the moistened toothbrush, and then you brush your teeth. You know, it doesn't have, another thing I kind of like, it doesn't have that just, like, frothing that you get from toothpaste. You know, it's not like you're dribbling down your mouth and have to spit constantly. Like, it's not. It's gritty and cleaning, and it leaves your mouth clean. Kind of a little salty. It's kind of a little salty texture, which I don't mind, as opposed to, like, mint. And then you can't drink anything afterwards because everything tastes like shit after you brush your teeth. Heaven forbid you fucking drink orange juice. Oh, it's like cat vomit in your mouth. Not with baking soda. You just rinse out your mouth afterwards, and there you go. Done. And I mean, have you price compared the difference between plain baking soda and toothpaste? I mean, even the cheapest Walmart brand, like, toothpaste is still more expensive than the little box of name brand, you know, Arm & Hammer baking soda. And baking soda has a million uses. Toothpaste has less. Toothpaste is really great for cleaning your scratch CDs and making them play again. If you have plain white toothpaste, it's really good for filling in nail holes in your white drywall. Yeah, it is. But baking soda has more uses. Here's another one that I've tried, and it worked actually very well. I believe the recipe that I found combined parts 1 and 2, so the shampoo and the conditioner, but I'm not real sure. So this recipe is, you can make a basic shampoo out of 1 cup of water and 1 tablespoon of baking soda. Put it in a sealed container. I've done that, and then I followed up that with the conditioner air quotes, my friends, conditioner and detangler, apparently. Mix 1 cup of water and 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. Put in a sealed container. And then... So the baking soda and water actually leave your hair like... It's a completely different feeling than what you're used to when you wash your hair with shampoo, which is full of toxic bullshit. The baking soda, it just leaves your hair like squeaky clean. It doesn't have a smell. You could add whatever you want to it, but I don't really care about that. So yeah, it just leaves it like squeaky clean, just like really just clean. It's just different, and I feel far superior than shampoo. Shampoo I've never really been a big fan of either. I don't really like the way it leaves my hair. Sort of like, if my hair gets even a little long and I shampoo it, you know, 5 days a week, I'm going to grow an afro. Like, my hair will just poof right up. And it's not curly, but it just will, like, I'm one of those rare people that have crazy hair. Like, I wake up looking like Giorgio Tsoukinos from Ancient Aliens. Like, I wake up and I was abducted every night. Like, oh, it was aliens. I love that show, by the way. But yeah, that's my hair. Like, it either, I keep it cut and gelled and it stays manageable-ish. Or I have Ancient Aliens hair. I mean, that's really the only two here. So yeah, that works. And then, like I said, the conditioner, I did do that. I followed it up with the vinegar, and when you're doing the vinegar, it smells atrocious. I mean, unless you love the smell of vinegar, and it just does it for you. It's going to smell like vinegar, and you're going to think, James, you're an idiot. I now smell disgusting. When you wash it out, though, it doesn't, I didn't, after I, and you got to wash it out thoroughly, the vinegar smell goes away. Your hair isn't like left smelling disgusting like vinegar forever. I couldn't really smell my own hair, but I didn't smell anything. And it felt good. Like, it didn't feel greasy. It didn't feel dry. It felt like human hair. Like, it just felt like the way that hair was meant to be, you know, clean and natural. So I like that. And like I said, apple cider vinegar and baking soda, this should be in your preps anyway. And you can stockpile on it. And some of you that are skeptical, give it a try. Let me know. I believe in a lot of cases you will be converts unless you're just lazy and you want smells. I don't know. Men will probably convert to this easier than women unless the women are super hippies and they're already on board. Here's one I have not tried and is interesting, and I may be making a convert from my tried and true but toxic geek field, Old Spice deodorant. I've used Old Spice deodorant pretty much since I was a teenager, so a long time, and I know it's not actually a good product, but it smells good, and I just keep using it, so... Here is a homemade recipe for deodorant that you can use during the shit hits the fan or for the now to avoid toxic bullshit. Where is it? Oh, mix 1/4 of a cup baking soda with 1/4 of a cup of cornstarch or arrowroot powder. I have arrowroot powder. Slowly add 5 to 6 tablespoons of coconut oil to the mixture, stirring with a spoon until it reaches the desired consistency and texture. You can refill the old deodorant dispenser With this, although you will need to ensure it is kept in a cool location to prevent the coconut oil from liquefying, which is at room temperature. Below 75, or below 72, I think, it's a solid. Above, it's a liquid. So, here's one just for the ladies. Unless you're Egyptian, I don't know, or gay. A simple, long-lasting eyeliner can be made from activated charcoal, the substance used to filter water and soothe stomach aches. If the charcoal is encapsulated, empty the capsule onto a small plate. Otherwise, pour out a small amount onto the plate. Dip the tip of a narrow makeup brush into water, then swirl and moisten the tip of the brush through the charcoal. Apply as you would to other eyeliner. I'm pretty sure a lot of ancient people all did that. So that's, there you go. Eyeliner for the shit hit the fan. And lastly, to make a clear lip gloss, mix 1 tablespoon of aloe vera gel. Slice open the leaves of an aloe vera plant and scrape out the gel, if you have a plant. Half a teaspoon of coconut oil, 1/8 teaspoon of vitamin E oil. Add a drop or two of your favorite essential oil. Mix until smooth. Pour into a lid container. There's your own lip gloss. And if you're enterprising, maybe you can make your own lip gloss business and sell it on Etsy and become a billionaire. Serenity. All right. That was a very long question, and 31 minutes in, we'll try to speed up the other ones a little bit. I mean, try. I had to turn off the air conditioner to record this podcast, and it is getting hot in here. Blech. Call number 2 is from David. We will pause to let David ask his question.
Hi, James. This is David from Indiana. My question is a hypothetical. Imagine shit hit the fan a few years ago, and you're running a successful farm and little homestead. You're aware of 2 other much larger groups in your immediate vicinity. One's a small collective full of hippies and madmen, and the other's a strictly military group that's more army than community. There have been some skirmishes between the two, and you're afraid they're going to have it out pretty soon. What do you do about it?
All right, David. David's question was, and like I said, I'm remembering this from memory, and you just heard it, so you know exactly what it is. But it was basically, you've got the shit is at the fan, and your neighbors are some hippie ass hippies and some like military prepper dudes, and they're getting pissed at each other. And what do you do? Do you step in? Do you stop the fighting? Do you let them kill each other? Do you pick one side and, you know, screw the other side over? I mean, what do you do? This is not, you know, a fact-based answer that can be given to this. This is all personal opinion and conjecture. You know, it's a sort of moral question. And morals vary. I feel there's a hard line for morals, but you know, it's, this one is kind of up to personal preference. Being a anarchist libertarian, I'm inclined to just say, you know, it's their business. Unless it gets to the point where it's affecting me, I'm not going to bother. And if shit hit the fan, though, it could affect you. If they kill each other or one kills the other, it could have sort of long-lasting repercussions that are unforeseen. You know, i.e., like, maybe you'll need those people. Maybe, you know, there could be a lot of reasons. And, you know, if it was just like a squabble, it's not going to really result in anything. You know, maybe, you don't have to like everybody in the universe. But in the shit of the fan, without rule of law, it could escalate to literally, you know, possibly the one side, the military preppers, just wiping out the hippies. And maybe, you know, that's, I mean, violence because you're just annoyed at someone is definitely not a good thing. And I didn't really, the question to me didn't really say that, like, you know, the hippies are stealing or anything, that, or they're not really like robbing. They're just like, they just don't like each other, you know, and that's fine. You know, certain groups of people will definitely rub people the wrong way, but maybe not, maybe just because they don't like them, but because it's preconceived, you know, like it's their preconceptions. They don't really know them. They just dislike them based on principle of who they are, you know. And, you know, or it's like the 10% hatred. Like, I agree with 90% of the shit you say, but that 10%, that makes me hate you. You know, like everything else you're saying, oh, that's genius. But that one thing, I can't deal with you because of that one thing, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's so prevalent too, you know, like even everywhere, like the science community, like all this evidence, but this one thing is kind of out there and I'm going to just dismiss all your ideas, whatever. Whatever. So my gut feeling is I would step in as a mediator to work things out, or at least try to, you know. It's, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to set up the next government in the shit hit the fan and try to rule people. That's not what I want. But peaceful mediation between your community is very beneficial. You're going to need unless these are just terrible people, unless like the hippies are stealing drugs from like retirement homes and causing deaths and stuff, you know, if it's just people being annoyed at each other, then you need to step in. I would try to mediate between these two people to come to mutual respect of some sort, a working, like you don't have to like each other, but being able to work together, I don't see that being as an impossibility. So that's my solution. I would want to step in and try to smooth things over and get to a point where they can at least work together and at least live in the same area without killing each other. I mean, that's my answer. Let's move on to the next one.
Hey, what's up? It's Matt from Oklahoma. Hey, I got a question. What are some non-prepper or survivalist skills that are good to have if a disaster or the apocalypse or, you know, if idiots take over the world and we have to fight for survival? What are some good, you know, like, thinking like Mr. Miyagi some shit? You know, you're waxing the car, but you're really learning how to snap a dude's neck or something. You know, just curious. On your opinion. Okay, I'll leave you alone now. Bye.
All right. You just heard from Matt. Matt wants to know, what are some non-prepper skills that will be handy and the shit hit the fan? Like, a lot. A lot of skills that are not, say, traditional prepper skills could be applied. And, you know, like being a welder, being a blacksmith, being, you know, a botanist. The list goes on, and having those skills and finding ways to apply them to the shit hit the fan are great. Not really to dismiss your question, but, you know, it's follow your passions, what the things that interest you, and find ways to apply them to the shit fan. You know, I kind of geek out on some first aid stuff, so I research that and stock up on some first aid stuff. Sometimes a bit above and beyond, like your generic, like, run-of-the-mill first aid kit. I'm not going to start, you know, doing surgeries and stuff, but, you know, I tend to have a little bit more than some of the other preppers, you know, like fancy new technologies and stuff. And I haven't really got any in a while, and there's some new stuff that I'm looking at that I'm going to add to my first aid kit, you know. So, and I've eyeballed like a skin stapler for a while, and, you know, taking a suturing class. That would be awesome. You know, blacksmithing, the ability to take, you know, metal in your environment and forge weapons with it. Or, you know, replace things and fabricate things that are broken and the shit hit the fan. So, you know, those skills, plant identification of all sorts. And, you know, even learning the mumbo jumbo world of mushrooms that can kill you. That, you know, that's a great skill to have. Learning a martial arts, just, you know, just to have that slight edge, you know, and maybe I should have included this question, but it wasn't a call. Kevin from listener Kevin. He was like, how about you talk about, you know, like the myth that martial arts is sort of the great equalizer, like a 90-pound woman can take out like a 300-pound man just because she knows martial arts and he's, you know, doesn't know how to, you know, fight at all. And that also is a blanket statement that it's impossible. It depends, you know, like... It depends. I don't know how much Ronda Rousey weighs, but I'm sure she can take out a lot of men. Just because she is more physically fit and trained to, you know, fight. Whereas, you know, like, if you take one of these nincompoop overweight millennials and you pit them against, you know, even a tiny female... that has spent, you know, her entire life learning a martial arts, and depending on that martial art, you know, some of them are better than others. You know, I would probably give my money to the female. You know, they may be tiny, but if they spent their entire life, they've definitely acquired muscle and proficiency. Some martial arts don't really need a lot of actual strength. Aikido, if you had the tiniest female that had trained her entire life in Aikido, and then you had an incompetent, big, fat millennial kid, I mean, just to go as complete opposite as I can here, that's, you know, offended by everything, and he's in Antifa and just lashes out and wants to attack this girl. In that case, I put my money on the little girl. You know, she's going to use his weight and, I mean, to be honest, weak assness against him. So if you pit, like, you know, a girl that's been taking Taekwondo for 2 weeks at, like, you know, the local gym against, you know, a guy that's, say, a biker that's been in a couple brawls, you know, that's a big guy, then she's probably going to get fucked up, you know? I'm not a... after listening to the Atlas Shrugged books, I don't like to say that there are no absolutes. I'm not going to be like Mr. No Absolute. But There is a lot of gray area in the universe. There really is. You know, it's, I think in the book they were kind of trying to define like the two spectrums, like, you know, the, oh, nothing is absolute and everything is blah, blah, blah. You know, and the, you know, life is logic and reason, and it generally tends to be a little bit in the middle. I mean, to make a blanket statement like that for, you know, that is you really can't, but generalities can be based in, you know, if you go by a case by case basis, then definitely, you know, you can absolutely say like, you know, oh, this person has been taking martial arts for a week, you know, and this guy has never fought in his entire life and is afraid of violence. You know, maybe that even that slight weak can give them an advantage. So I don't even remember where I was going. Oh yeah. So, it's that advantage I'm talking about. Like, just the mindset you get from taking a martial arts and the mindset, the confidence, all that comes with it and the actual skill. And maybe Kevin can chime in and let me know what he thinks, but I feel the experience, the mat time you get, especially if wherever you take your martial arts at, I would highly suggest you that if you're trying to narrow it between like two schools and one includes a decent amount of mat time where you spar, you know, with your fellow students, and one is not really about that. They want to teach you the katas or the forms, you know, the moves. And you practice on like mat, you know, not mats, but you practice on like punching bags and stuff. I would go with the one that has sparring. You know, it application, all, you know, like what was that famous quote? Everyone has a plan until they meet the enemy. You know, it. That is a bigger teacher. Like, I want to say that if someone didn't learn any specific martial arts moves and just actually sparred a lot, like if they put in a lot of time and effort to just sparring, your body would develop the skills it needs. That's why, like, if you like someone that's a brawler that just fights all the time, generally is pretty good at it. You know, if you put them against like, you know, a high performing martial artist, they're probably going to lose. But you can develop a lot of proficiency just from actually fighting. That's my opinion. So yeah, other skills, you know, like I said, pretty much anything. It's finding what you like though. Like if I say that a great non-prepper skill for the shit hit the fan would be, you know, network specifications to build, you know, communication networks like a mesh network and the shit hit the fan. And you're like, you're an outdoorsman, bushcrafter, hippie, and you don't like technology, then you'll be like, oh, it's a bad idea, James. Like, I'm not interested. Well, that's okay. You don't have to like everything. And that's why having a community is a good idea. You can specialize in what you do like. Hopefully Matt doesn't think I'm copping out on this answer. It's more or less finding things you like and finding ways to apply them, in a shit hit the fan situation. You know, there's a lot of skills out there and, you know, obviously there's probably a lot that would not be good. But even those, I can find ways to apply them for a shit hit the fan. Like, if you're a marketer, like, oh, how are you going to be a marketer in the shit hit the fan? Well, you know, that's marketing is finding ways to sell things to people, and, you know, we're going to need barter and sales and trade and the shit is fan. Maybe not initially, but we will eventually, you know. So some skills do tend to lend themselves a bit easier, you know. If you excel in like esoteric philosophies, maybe not the best to have in the shit hit the fan. But there's a lot of skills. There's my alarm clock. Good morning, y'all. yeah. So off the top of my head, foraging, plant identification, great skill. Blacksmithing, welding, great skill. Mechanic, being able to fix, mechanical parts, great skill. Bartering, negotiation, would not seem like a great skill to have, but really is. The understanding the psychology of people and getting them to do what you want, without really having leverage, so managing your peers and, higher ups and your community, really, without like, so if you're a boss, you can be like, go do this because my fucking name tag is bigger than yours and you have to do it, but getting people to do what you want without the stick, without the threat of violence at the point of a gun, that's a very useful skill. And that is one of the things that you can really learn from, believe it or not, some of the people in the pickup artist community. They some of them have really took to learning psychology and, like the way things, the actions and the results of certain actions. So something to look into, sort of like, you learn something and then just move on. But, psychology is one of those. Like I said before, martial arts. Storytelling. The ability to spin a good yarn. We will not have TV and movies, possibly in a shit hit the fan scenario. So being able to convey a story to whittle the time away could be a useful thing. So those are a couple of my ideas. If you have suggestions, leave me a comment on the blog. Let's move on to the next question.
Hi, it's David from Indiana. Other than the obvious use, lighting, what other uses of electricity do you deem to be essential? Radios? Hair clippers? Power saws and drills? Computers and TVs? Washing laundry, drying laundry, using it to heat, washing dishes. I feel like some of those are reasonable and some are frivolous. Where do you draw the line? I know it depends on what you have to make and store power. And anyway, where do you draw the line?
All right. You guys have heard from David again, and he wanted to know, how do you prioritize your electrical uses? And I didn't listen to the question. You did. I don't think that he specifically said in the shit hits the fan, maybe in a disaster, maybe going, just living off grid while the grid and everything is still up and working. I don't know. It was kind of an open-ended question, and we'll treat it as thus. So how do you determine what's necessity and what's frivolous? Really depends on a lot of things. What personally is important to you? We heard earlier from Matt and his wife that, staying, clean and, makeuped is a priority for her, and that's fine. Different people have different priorities. to some of us, maybe running an air conditioner is frivolous, you know? Oh my God, I wish my air conditioner was running. I'm starting to bead sweat now, and I'm like, oh, I love you guys, but I got to hurry this up. You know, maybe, you know, unless it's death heat, that, you know, running the air conditioner with your off-grid stored power is frivolous. Maybe, you know, you just kind of sweat a little bit. Maybe you have some fans that take a lot less power and you just kind of deal with it. If, you know, you have certain people that can't handle the heat, you know, newborns, young children, toddlers, severely old people, maybe that air conditioner that you're running is no longer frivolous. Maybe that's, you know, life or death need, you know? And on top of, you know, your personal preference lies in your method of acquiring power. You know, if you can produce electricity easily, if you have like solar and micro hydro and, you know, wind turbines, and you have a surplus of electricity where you can just run everything, you know, and you have battery banks to store it all, then, you know, you can be a bit more frivolous. You know, if your methods of producing electrical power are limited, say the only thing you have, and what me and a lot of people in the Survival Punks community have been doing recently with, you know, small and, you know, couple day long power outages, is running, you know, an inverter hooked up to your car or truck running power to your house. You know, if your vehicle is an amazing generator, teamed up with a good alternator, not good alternator, a good inverter, it works good. If you tie that into a battery bank and you charge the batteries and then you run silent off the batteries, probably even better. So, but that's not, you know, that's not energy abundance. Like, you're not going to just run your vehicle 24/7 powering your entire house. You're probably going to murder your battery, your alternator, your car, your truck, whatever, doing that. So in that case, you kind of got to be a bit more frivolous. Maybe you're not going to run the hot water heater, and you're not going to run the washer and the dryer and the dishwasher. You know, that all goes out the window. But like I said, maybe in that case, you have a newborn child, it's 100 degrees. Maybe you put an air conditioner, like a window unit, in one room, you know, and block that off and set it kind of low. You know, maybe you have to cover your fridge in blankets and run that for like, you know, an hour every few hours just to keep the food cool. Maybe you're running an ice maker and filling up a cooler. You know, all these, it depends on your personal needs. Like I said, if you have to run an air conditioner, if you have to run, you know, something else, and it depends on the disaster. So it's all these factors, and they tie into each other. So if the shit hit the fan is just, you know, some drunk driver took out a telephone pole down the street from you, and it's going to take a couple of days to get it back up, and you run an online business, then your computer and your office have now become a necessity. You need to prioritize that. So I believe the ultimate goal here should be to have, like I said, enough power generation so that you're not like trying to prioritize things. On the other hand, we tend to be a glutton for power here in the modern Western world. So, you know, maybe you just stop running the dishwasher and go back to washing dishes by hand. It takes a lot less power, a lot less water, you know, and get used to that. So that, you know, if the shit hits the fan, it's not a big shock to you that, oh, I can't run the dishwasher anymore, you know, or, and, you know, get used to saving power. Like, when I still had my apartment, you know, one time I got my electric bill down to $11. $11, guys. You know, and I would just turn off my, you know, I insulated my hot water heater, but then I would just turn it off, you know, pretty much the entire day, except for, like, I'd go flip it on 1 hour before I'm going to take a shower, turn it back off, you know, because that was really the only time of the day that I used hot water. You know, if I was making coffee, I would just run cold water and heat up that water anyway. So I didn't, you know, it, and that made a huge impact. Like, people are all worried about their light bulbs, but things like the hot water heater are a way bigger impact on your water, like on your electric bill. So using electricity to heat water is huge. Like, coffee maker sucks up power. So there's that, heating and cooling. He mentioned, you know, like, do you heat yourself or do you heat like a home? Like, I've talked in the past that heating just your person or persons, if you have many people, is way, way more power efficient than like heating an entire home. You know, like electric blankets, electric heating pads, you know, that just heat your person. Wearing clothes, you know, like, I like seeing half-naked women, but what is with women like, oh, it's freezing in here, and you're walking around, like, in t-shirt and panties? Like, men, we're logical, we're reasonable, we dress appropriately for the weather. Like, if it's cold, like, we just put on more clothes. If it's hot, we complain about it. yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just... you can only take off so many layers of clothes when it's hot, when you're like, oh, there's nothing more I can do here. Like, I can't rip off my skin and sit, you know, in my muscle layer. But anyway, that's my thoughts on that. It's these last two questions didn't really have super definitive answers. You know, there's no fact sheet for, oh, in the apocalypse, you know, this is definitely a frivolous electrical need. Like, you know, if you're, the more power you have, the more frivolous you can be. So that probably needs to be the direction that we go, to have so much power that we're not really stressing and thinking about it, that we can just, you know, use the things that we have, but at the same time, not, you know, design our lifestyles so that we don't have super frivolous things. And, you know, I'm back to the dishwasher on this one, that, you know, that needs to go, and some other things don't, like the air conditioner. You will find the power to make the air conditioner go, my friends. And that, I believe, oh, we have one more question. We have one more question. It'll be a quick one, and then we'll wrap this up.
Hey, this is Matt from Oklahoma, and I have a very important question. I'm going through a few things right now, and I want to know if there are going to be blood-sucking family law attorneys in the apocalypse. I'm hoping there won't be, but if there are, that's going to suck, and I just want to know if there are going to be any. Bye.
All right, we heard back from Matt from Oklahoma again, and it's definitely a unique question, and I'm sure that some of you have, you know, I know what's going on, but I'm not going to spill Matt's beans here. And if you could keep Matt in your thoughts and prayers, and you know, sacrifices to the Dark Lord if you need me, but. You know, the legal system can be a motherfucker. And so, in the shit's the fan, will we have to worry about it? It depends. It depends. Will we have blood-sucking, you know, family lawyers in the shit's the fans? It depends. unfortunately, I feel likely that in a lot of shit hit the fan scenarios, the dream that the government closes its shop and goes away, and you know the banks go away, and we won't have to deal with legal issues and you know mortgages and banks and lawyers and shit and the shit hit the fan. I don't really think that's very likely. I you know, if the collapse is bad, I kind of feel that the heads of the banks and the legal system and the government, they may not come for you right away, but they will have records. And as soon as things are even remotely better, they'll come ask for their back payments and whatnot. So, you know, for, you know, mortgages or whatnot, they're not going to go away unless something serious happens. Maybe if you're in a really rural area and the shit fan is that bad, then, you know, your legal issues go out the window. So, but to be honest, I see the government becoming more tyrannical in a shit hit the fan than less tyrannical. So, will there be blood-sucking lawyers? Probably. Probably, I'm sorry to say. I'm not a big fan of the government just closes up shop and goes away. And that's just me. But one can hope. So, one can hope. And with that, that is the last question. Thanks to Matt and David for calling in with questions. I appreciate it. Appreciate you listening. It's those are some good questions. Man, it's hot, guys. Let's talk about the weather. Yeah, those are good questions, and I like that. I don't get to do enough Q&A calls, and I really appreciate people taking the time to call in and leave a question. And like I said, next week we'll be back with a rant episode, so enjoy that. So DIY to call me and leave me a voicemail. Use a guy.